Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Drunk Game Design, the show where we get inebriated and then design a game. And I spend 3 weeks making that game, and then we play it, and deeply regret our decisions.
Oh my god.
The landlord is a fish.
Who is also an octopus.
It's Christmas for poor people.
I really just want, like, Paul the accountant.
My name is Jack, I'm from Half Monster Games, and we'll just go around and introduce ourselves.
Cool, I'm James Elliott, I guess I'm from the Brisbane Treasure Hunt Society, and I think that's about it, that's all I really have to add.
Fantastic, alright. Our special, extra special guest, Nina Hori.
Hi, my name is Nina Hori. I like games.
Fantastic, that's what we need.
Hello, my name is Jack McNamee, I am the designer of God Emperor, which you can get from GodEmperor.net, and I am currently designing Trigger Happy.
I'm Nick Wiggins. I am a digital scholarship support officer, so I help people with new and emerging technologies. I do 3D design, I do 3D modeling, photogrammetry. Look into it. You can make models with your phone. It's fun.
Fantastic.
Nice.
And finally,
hi. I'm Cam. I'm from Cliffhanger Creative. I work mainly in story, but I also do some game design for people as well.
Fantastic. Alrighty. What we'll do now is we've just played Last Days of Love. We did a video of it live on Facebook, so if you go to our Facebook page or to halfmonstergames.com, you can find that live or that video and watch us as we play. But what we're going to do now is go ahead and design a new game.
The best game that I played in the past year was Fog of Love, because that's why I bought it. I liked that game because it was sort of like you could have like that deception element, but it's like implied that everybody's trying to go forward with the relationship.
Yeah, that was brought up last week. What is Fog of Love? I've never heard of it.
Fog of Love is a game where there's like two people playing the game, and you're both in a relationship, and you're both these two different characters, and you're going through these chapters, and as you go through, you're trying to get certain personal goals achieved, but also relationship goals achieved. As you go through that, you like there are certain things where if you want the relationship to progress, you could have like different relationship goals, but then there's also a way that in which you can end the relationship. You can end the relationship sort of amicably with an honorable exit, or you can just screw the person over.
Oh, wow.
And so there is that element of when you start playing, both of you are trying to, you know, meet up in the middle and have like a fulfilling relationship. But, you could also just completely fuck someone else over.
So it's effectively, it's almost like a two-player trader game, like a two-player Werewolf, because
you can play two-player.
No, well, not well, but like Fog of Love, you start out cooperative, but you can betray the other person and try to get a goal that way, or you can win by cooperating.
We all seem to like betrayal games.
I do like betrayal games. Yeah. I like games where I win.
Which is not...
I was going to say, it's probably every game.
It is every game. Like, as Jack is lying about, I win every game that we play. But, I like those... I like that sort of game because it is an emotional investment game. You're in there for the story, and there's a story inbuilt within that game, and you're moving through that, and you're wanting to work with people, but also you don't know how they're feeling.
So it's the aspect of the story investment that you like?
Yeah, I like story investment in games. I can't play games without stories, but I do like story investment.
I like that too, that really brings me into it.
Perhaps a game. Let me just spit.
Yes, do go. Go organic.
If I can interject.
No, it's your garbage. And you have It's like Jenga or similar to Junkart, except you're trying to fit all of your garbage into the garbage box.
So it's like Tetris and Jenga?
Yeah, so you don't have to take it out because you're like, oh, it's such a long time in the bin, let's just pack it in there.
But do you have to sort it into rubbish and recycling? And is it one of those...
Extra points for doing that, but... You are often confronted with situations where you're like, let's just get this shit in there, and you just do whatever you want.
Garbage man. You find out that the garbage man's coming on Wednesdays instead of Thursdays from now on.
Yes, exactly.
I think that game exists, and it's the game of life. And we play it every week.
You like the game of life that much that you play it every week?
Yeah, foolishly, yeah. I'm going to probably play it until I die.
I was going to say, if you wanted to bring love and storytelling and deception into these sorts of things, it could be that you have started dating someone and moved in together and realized that they have very different views on how to do everything in the house.
Oh, and like they think that they can just put something that has a cardboard back and a plastic front in the recycling bin. And you're like, educate for plus one
so
about separators.
So it's Tetris.
I was a little
emotional. It's Tetris, but you're both playing it and you have hidden goals.
It's
like, you're
no
like,
Tetris!
You're like, what the fuck? You put the pizza box here? What is wrong with you?
Oh, you could do about two people moving in,
yeah.
And then like, or like a share house forming, and you've got all your like Tetris block with stuff that you want to put in the house, and so you're like,
oh yeah, and you have different goals. Like when you line something up, it all disappears, you know, which is it being neat, or when someone else lines something up, they get new pieces of Tetris.
Yeah,
that could be fun. Anna Entropy, the video game person, has a good video game about this, which I forget the name of, but it's about. Trying to have a bed in a polyamorous couple, and it's like a Tetris game. Where you need to, like, the cat needs to fit on the bed, and this partner needs to fit on the bed, but they, like, during the night, they're gonna, like, roll, and this partner needs to fit on the bed, and they, like, you know, oh my God.
I was thinking of, like, a relationship-type version of that, the game that they put out a little while ago, which was, like, stop the babies from killing themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Back to babies and death.
So what's the stop the babies from killing themselves game?
That game is you're at like a family barbecue, like all the families in the neighborhood have come around, and you've got to balance having the most sociable time and enjoying your time as an adult without having the children die.
Wow.
And
is this
just
like an educational game as well? Or?
It was just a game made by a local Brisbane company who's freaking awesome that I can't remember the name of. They were presenting about how it took off because they just had a lot of fun in the design process, and they were like, what is the weirdest, strangest premise we can come up with that is really relatable?
Right.
And they're like, well, we're all parents as well, and our kids keep trying to kill themselves because they're like crawling towards the pool or doing something that
it's
babies
fun.
Do.
Right.
This is like our recurring game.
Baby.
I remember talking about it last drunken game as well.
Yeah. We keep coming around.
Baby
I was
death.
Like, take out the baby murder, and put in like the stakes of a harmonious household.
Okay, so you've got like the housemate whose goal it is to just create discord and fuck shit up, and then you've got the housemate who's like, no, that has to go here. No,
that sort of thing. Perhaps a lazy rather than. Sadistic household.
Okay, so yeah.
Well,
what
if you are, if you're trying to make things work, but you just couldn't make it work? If you're some kind of dad who's also an octopus, and you just had to make that work?
Well, so it seems like the core theme of all of these is that there's one player who's trying to, like, coordinate everything neatly, and all the other players are sort of trying to mess stuff up to their own benefit.
Yeah.
And the one player that's trying to do neat stuff has a bit more capacity and power.
Yeah.
And that's how you balance it. But yeah, maybe there's something in there that we can...
Equal conflict so that no one, like, everyone's goals are just equally conflicting.
Mm.
Yeah,
to other people.
It could be something where someone is like good at washing the dishes, like they do that all the time, but they'll play like loud music at night when people are trying to sleep.
Well, whenever they do the thing that they're good at, there's like an you like have two activities at the same time. So I play hard metal while I do the dishes, and the other housemate is like, I must have silence while I study.
Yeah,
so I've got an idea. Let's go around the circle and just what is one of those things that you do that like. what's a good thing that you bring to a household, and then what's one of the things that, you know, is probably makes you a bit of a shitty housemate. If you can think of it.
I know mine.
You're asking me to.
Mine is, I was very, well, I feel like I was neat, but I was a bit loud about it sometimes. I'd be like, let's all clean up, guys.
I see.
A bit annoying about it.
Oh, right. You wanted everyone else to know you were neat, or that you wanted them to be neat with
you? I wanted them to be neat, and I should have just been chill.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Good intentions, not enough chill. That's me.
I mean, I've lived by myself for like over a year.
Oh.
So, that's so that I never have to deal with anyone else's shit.
It's just a grim past.
That'd be nice. Not that I'm insulting my housemates, it'd be nice living with.
But on the flip side of that, as I have always been, I'm very neat in public places, in a shared household, and incredibly grubby in my own space.
Yeah.
So, and I fluctuate between that. So I'll either be, it has to be either be super clean or I do not care. Which is a very tense thing if I have, like, lots of work on and I'm living with people and they're like, why haven't you done anything about this? And I'm like, I was going to in, like, 3 weeks.
Mm. So is that your frustrating quality? Is that when you get really busy, you don't clean anything?
I have been forced to in the past because of other people that I've lived with.
Mm.
Not to point out any people that I have lived with previously, but because of that, I now draw quite a line in it.
Okay. Like, share, and subscribe.
Yeah, like, share, and subscribe. Sorry, ex-housemates. Who didn't take the trash out for three years.
Fair enough. Alright, what about you, Wiggins?
I bring a lot to my household.
Okay.
Let's
like to do a terrible candidate's pitch.
I bring a lot to my household in a bad way. I like finding free stuff. So, like, there's like a thing on the side of the road. I'm like, oh, that would go great. And I bring it. And then I take it home. And then Graham looks at me and he's like, how do I break this to you, buddy? It won't fit in the house, Nick. You have to get rid of it. You know,
no.
So it's, yeah. But you know, I Dragon Hunter. But at the same time, yeah. Curbside collection.
Am I right? Yeah, yeah. It's Christmas for poor people.
Yeah. Well.
Right. Maybe not.
Yeah, but also yeah. I feel like I try to create things in the household and make it into a bit more of a lived-in space. Which
even when others
sounds
don't
like an
want
excuse.
You to be doing that.
No, I try to be aware
okay.
of others' needs.
That
at least
nice.
Now I do. It's something I'm learning. We're always growing and learning in our houses.
It seems like we've got, from the stuff we've talked about, there's a like two separate games we could think about.
Hang on, what are your qualities as a housemate? Okay?
I was avoiding this exact
dodging
question.
Her question.
Yeah.
Well
no,
done, James.
Let's ask
no
Tazier and Fletcher.
Look, I do a lot of following up of people in terms of paying the bills and stuff, and I'm also fairly annoying, is what I would say.
Which one's the good one?
Lawful neutral, I think that was.
Yeah.
I will say when I have lived with people, I mostly spend a lot of my time alone, and people get frustrated with that. And then when you suddenly appear in their space, they can get frustrated with that as well. Like if you're suddenly in the living room, like always expected you to not be here, and it's like, well, I don't know, it's a house, I'm paying rent.
I tend to use other people's things.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's
beds,
my annoying
pillows.
Things. Beds, pillows,
underwear,
toothbrushes, yeah.
Do you
bring their parents.
Do you use the items for the intended purpose, or do you like, well, this toothbrush will make a great cleaning device for my
new. Well, yeah, no, I use things for things that, like, so the other night I needed to make, long story short, a resin crystal. And my housemate had this perfect, like, holder, like, receptacle that would be a good mold for a resin crystal. So, like, I filled it with resin. And I also borrowed a keep cup and lost the lid. And things like that. So I borrow people's things. I'm like, I'll bring this back. And then I'll lose it or break it and be like, ah.
Uh-oh.
And then I take a long time to replace it.
Oh, no.
So I'm, like, not a great housemate in that sense. But I'm a company. And I'm the leaseholder. And I clean, so...
Nice. All right, fair enough.
There's some game fodder.
It's like a trade-offs, housemate trade-offs game.
Yeah. We could do it maybe each round you get like a crazy shaped thing and you have to cram it in this house somewhere.
Yeah.
Like,
you're all managing this house and you're all fitting elaborate shaped
maybe.
Things. That's fun.
What if?
It's like housemate trading.
Ah,
oh,
like a drawing
like,
game.
And you've got all these different types of housemates.
You have five housemates as cards as your hand, and you're like, oof, I don't want this housemate who never does the dishes, but, you know, I need a...
Yeah, but they mow the lawns or something.
But
yeah,
they
yeah.
do mow the lawn.
Like,
yeah.
they, like, if you already have one that washes the dishes, you'll discard one like that washes the dishes.
That's right. Yeah,
like,
you're only
so
on
you're
one
drafting
a
hand
yeah.
of ideal housemates, and
yeah,
whoever
yeah.
has the best housemates wins.
Yeah,
wins.
You have harmonious household, the household
cool.
that balances at the end of the game and gets the most points.
Yes,
and doesn't get evicted.
But,
yeah. Liv has
but,
the longest lease.
So you have harmony of household.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have capacity to pay rent.
Oh,
yeah.
So, you
so the artists
yeah,
bring fun, but you have high risk paying rent.
So like in the back, you could like flip over events every turn that are like, oh, anyone who's an artist, no one paid you this week because
rough.
People refused to pay their invoices. Because
your latest project is a piece
Cameron
of shit.
Cameron just did a big expression there.
Yeah.
it was
at
artist,
no one in particular.
Artist expression.
It's funny.
Yeah.
The artist in my household is the highest earner in my household as well.
Okay.
Shout out to Graham Mose, everyone. You can find him on Spotify.
Yay, Graham Mose.
So maybe
he's
maybe
good at music and at reliable income.
So
yeah, that's
Graham.
Yeah, they
yeah.
could be like the
yeah.
gold house.
The gold standard. Yeah.
you want every housemate to be fairly equal.
Okay.
Are you afraid, Nick, though, because of the way that you've been promoting your housemate, that someone might, you know, steal him from underneath?
Drop
like,
him.
He's an artist,
yeah.
creative, but also, like, you know, highest payer. Are you afraid of this, like, backfiring?
Though Nick
so
didn't mention the
other
housemates who just
steal someone's housemates.
That's a great idea.
I'm already texting Graham.
yeah.
Like, Graham, move in. Take my spot.
I've played a trap card. You now have termites. You have to evict your entire household.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Your house is sold out from under you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So the
you
way
have renovations for 8 months.
Ah, oh, James.
It's real.
You poor thing. Okay, so the way I like to design games is we come with a general theme, and then we look at all the different variables in that scenario, and then go, okay, which ones are fun to include, which ones aren't. So the variables that I can see thus far are size and number of rooms in a house, and quality of the house, but that would affect the price.
Can I have one?
And, yeah.
Suburbs as well. So if you, like, a West End house might have a different, like, goal, where you have harmony and culture or something.
Yep.
And like others, yeah.
That could be the sort of the, like, you know, in some drafting games you get like a card at the start and it's like you get bonus points if you have more harmony and more culture in your house, or
yeah.
if you have more wage earners and this sort of
makes
stuff
sense.
You get bonus points at the end when all the things are revealed.
Yeah,
that's what
like
kind of
idea.
Person you are and what housemates
yeah.
you want. Yeah,
yeah,
makes sense.
And in terms of the housemates, the variables there are stuff like money, how good they are at housework,
yeah, keeping it clean,
fun,
and creativity,
social, and
yeah.
like and just like not being a disruptive
yeah.
person.
Can we put personality?
I think level of insanity,
personality.
Like level of insanity. Like, do
yeah.
you store
harmony.
Animal heads in the freezer?
Like,
probably lower score.
I've never done
that on time.
Yeah, you have to make so many horrible choices.
So you know, like,
that,
like insanity. You could frame it like serial killers or something.
Yeah,
that's
what I was gonna say.
And one of them is a serial killer.
Yeah, one of them's
oh
the guy from Seven, Kevin
yeah,
Spacey
yeah, yeah, yeah,
from
yeah.
Seven. He's like, we never had a complaint in 8 years. Don't strap to the bed.
Maybe you could have like a serial killer card allows you to just eliminate someone in another house once per turn. You're like, bang.
Can we
power card?
So, Cameron,
Sorry, you go, Cameron.
Could we hyper-sensationalise it then so that it's,
yeah.
like, thoroughly ridiculous? Like you have an axe murderer and an actual octopus man or a...
Oh my god, yes.
Like they're a space cadet, so they're never home.
Yeah.
Because they're on the moon.
You guys
That's
know me.
Let's.
I love
not that kind of space.
Like
the other, like the actual
yeah,
space.
But
yeah.
if your personal goal that you got at the start of the game was an introvert, you'd be like, "That's great. They're never home. I don't have to care."
Yeah, you get an introvert and a space
yeah.
cadet.
Yeah.
That's a good match.
Can I fork off for a second here? So
yeah.
just do you want a tangent here?
Let's
just
do it.
Relating back to some of the stuff I prepped, kind of links in neatly
yeah.
with Like, yes. Before you were saying things about, you know, power dynamics and making sure things are happening and all that kind of stuff, Jack. Yeah, well, the thing that I had was that stuff that Callan was talking about the serfs rising and seizing the means of production. So it's you're not a landlord, you're just a lord, you know? Yeah. It's not housemates, it's peasants.
So instead of housemates, it's you're recruiting people for your revolution against the...
Alright, it's a game set in
feudalism.
Everyone's babies.
Now, what we really need, how many of these babies are communists? And
do the games
link?
And puppies.
They're all part of the shared Trump game design universe.
You could actually have a housemate that is just a baby or a dog.
Doesn't pay rent, but adds a lot of quality
to
the house.
A literal peasant from the Middle Ages.
Yes! A time traveller!
It could be a time travelling household or something.
But the pun I wanted to make was it could be landlords of Waterdeep.
So we're like, we're still trying to find housemates, but it's in a fantasy genre.
Most drafting games, they take place over more than one round. You play over like 3 rounds. So it wouldn't make that much sense if you get your housemates, you're like, great, I've got my set of housemates, and you're like, now to get my next set of housemates.
And maybe make it like, you can trade housemates and stuff, and you get them at random at the beginning, and there's all this kind of going on, but you can also use your housemates to impact other houses. So the next sort of fantasy genre idea, you might have an assassin living with you, who's terrible at blah, but I don't know, maybe they can...
Kill off a housemate.
Yeah, or really kidnap them.
Right, so you keep the assassin in your house... The assassin never does the dishes.
Yeah.
Like, but he assassinates my enemies, so...
Yeah, that card goes back to the middle to be drawn again.
Tapping into an issue that we all had with the last game was the lack of personification in the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this, you know, renter's household, who are you? Are you one of the characters? Are you the landlord?
I would say one of the people living in the house.
You in the house.
You are the first person in the house who is trying to get more housemates in,
the other 4 housemates have just left unexpectedly for no reason, and you don't know why, because you're perfect.
They'll tell about
wizard.
But then
you have everybody else move in.
No, it's the occult.
You've got to find the perfect housemates. You've also got to make sure that everybody in the street has worse housemates, because, you know, obviously you want to be the best.
How many people here have played Gloom?
I have.
I'm not playing Gloom.
The premise of Gloom is that you have a family, and everyone has their families, and you're a kind of evil deity whose job is to try and make them as miserable as possible before they die. And you try and make everyone else's families happy. So
interesting.
It's this macabre adventure where you're trying to make the people that you are in control of as sad as possible, and then kill them. And you can kill them at any point, but the mechanic is kind of about that sort of manage. You start off with the people and you go down one by one, essentially.
And you get more points if you kill them when they are more sad.
Yes.
Yeah. The other thing that is in Gloom, that you don't have to do it this way, but it's implied that you can create a story with that as well. And I really like that aspect. You don't have to have the story, but you can play with the story. And it's like, oh, so-and-so died. And then you kind of link all the bad things that happened that made them sad together into their death story. And you weave that in with the greater narrative. And you just tell a story because it's fun.
I like that too. And that hypersensitive... Sensation as well to that.
I mean, you could create a collection of insane places and insane people that is like an actual like castle on a hill with dragons, and then the next place is like an underwater mansion, and then there's like the one bedroom unit.
You're a 20-something hipster who's like, oh, I just dropped out of uni, I need some housemates. Ugh. And then you draw your hand of cards and you're like, okay, do I want the cultist? The ghost,
the
dragons, or the octopus, and it's fun. You know, that'd be
cute.
Or the engineer. You know,
all the research.
Greg from sales
is your
the
house down.
You know,
or
this
boring guy.
This dragon, like,
but he
they're pretty.
Folds all the clothes. Yeah.
Yeah, and they all have like things about like, you know, this dragon. Look, they can pay the rent on time, but they're just cluttering up the house all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly things are on fire.
Yeah.
The house is so
they're just incredibly unclean.
Yeah.
So much gold everywhere. So
yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's too much gold in the house.
And then you can try to make...
There's like 8
I think in draft... I think the drafting game thing would be fun, because you're like, oh, I'll make a house of all cultists or something, and if I manage to make a house that's all cultists...
Yeah, I like that idea. Then there'd be some that can't live together, like orcs and someone. Orcs and giants or orcs and goblins or something.
So what if your driving mechanic is being able to, like, hold the lease for the term?
Yeah.
So if you can't...
So you get the bond back.
Yeah, so it's like you want the bond back. Is like you got to get the bond back when you finish the lease.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You got to try to. There's the, like, you're able to see where everyone's at. Like,
that's the cleanliness variable.
Yeah, but also, like, you could get the health department shut you down if you violate cleanliness too often in your inspections. The fire department. The, like, if you miss rent too many times, you get evicted.
Mm-hmm.
If you have two people who hate each other, like one of them. Suddenly.
Well,
interpersonal dynamics.
Yeah.
But
if your cleanliness is high enough, you're able to just like wipe away the blood and store the body.
Yeah, if you've got a really that's like assassins. You got heaps of assassins, so you can murder people, but you can cover it up.
I still feel like the house would smell.
Yeah,
like
so maybe that's like you murder them like 3 months out, and you get the health warning once, but then you make it to the end.
Right. It's like as long as nobody discovers you within those 3 months after you've killed 40 people.
Very nice. That sounds more like the Bloody Inn.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a great idea for the way the rounds would work, is you start in one specific house, you fill that house with housemates, you know, there's some trading and assassination and whatever happens, but then at the end of that you score some points, or you are able to fulfill your lease or whatever, and then you can go on to the next round where you are able to move to a different house if you've managed to get enough money or whatever, and then, you know, you do that for three rounds.
Yeah, so that was an interesting thought of, like, is it, are you just in the one household the whole time and you're just trying to survive till the end of so many rounds, and that's when you get your bond back or whatever happens? Or is it you want to jump from house to house and, like, you've completed this house and you then leave that house for some reason and you get points for that?
So I don't really know how drafting games work, so...
What?
A normal drafting game is like Seven Wonders, where you pick up a hand of cards, it's like seven cards, you choose one of those cards and put it face down, and then you hand the rest to the person on your left. And then so you take the cards from the person on your right, that'll be now six cards, you choose one, put it down, and you hand it on.
Okay, cool. And
you then mix that with events each round as well,
sure.
the modifiers. So if you were like, if you all got a cheap house and you're like, great, everyone's in harmony and they all got the same goals, they don't really care about like certain things, so that works really, really well. And then like flips over and has that like government never, like the contract never came through, so all artists don't pay rent. And you're like,
so.
Could we do a thing where those event cards are part of the draft?
Yes.
And
that would
decide,
be,
as a player,
would be great.
Do you take a housemate or do you fuck someone else up?
And
that'd
be much better.
If the deck is 54 characters or something, then when the last card is taken, that's the end of the game, and then you score it. Like, have you paid all the rent? Who has the highest harmony? Who has blah, blah, blah? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Who has the least destruction?
And you all get points based on all those factors.
Did you get caught by the authorities for having too many housemates in a household?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Just a suggestion for the drafting. Have...
Yeah.
Multiple rounds of drafting, so that everyone gets the same number of housemates or something like that, and then you have the event cards drafted out. That way it's not, you're not trading off between, do I have people in my house first? Do I, like, you know, have multiple rounds of drafting?
I think that would be
different,
an interesting
sorts
trade
of things.
Off. That's what I mean.
Could I pitch a modification to the current idea?
Yeah.
Which you could call Air D&D.
Name.
Air D&D.
Yes.
That was on Reddit recently as an actual business. Someone on Reddit recently suggested an actual business, which was Air D&D, which was finding, it's a business where you find game groups.
That's
online. I don't know if they'll actually do it, but it's a great name. Yes.
It's
sorry,
copyrighted.
Go on.
Let's do it.
So you have you end up with your house and all of that, and you might have one or whatever rooms there are free that you're trying to fill to make rent each, or to have your objectives for that household each round each time.
Okay.
Four housemates in your hand every round or something.
Yeah, and you've got one room, or if you've got the large castle, you've got two rooms or whatever that are. That's why you end up with the weird zany characters, but you're just you've got your household you're trying to manage, and there's one thing that, like, that way it
So if you have a castle, are you renting a castle?
Yes.
So
like a room in, like, so you've got your household.
Your
and
household
it's that,
is the entire castle though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, look guys, we could get the castle on the hill, but we'll have to have that dragon as our housemate to afford it. What do you think, guys?
Yeah?
Yeah?
Oh, gold everywhere.
He could be
actually,
in a dungeon.
Okay,
fine.
That's actually pretty good, is if the housemates you draft determine how good a house you can get. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you get the housemates that are really flush with moolah, then you can get the castle.
But there's always the risk with the event cards that
you
could have half your housemates wiped out, and then you can't make rent at the end of the game. I like that.
Like,
sounds
you've got a dragon because you're able to afford the castle because you have a dragon, but then the dragon slayer comes to stay, and you're like...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, whose thing is they, like, can't clean dishes, but they will slay dragons.
Okay, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And they're always making...
Down.
The dragon just never cleans dishes.
Okay.
I think all of these... So the way I see this in game mechanic terms, I guess... is that all these things contribute to some kind of household happiness score.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the dishes, maybe in each household, you know, the dishes need to be cleaned. It needs to be this, maybe it's a track. It's like it needs to be this level of clean.
Yeah.
This level of organized, whatever it is.
It's like interpersonal dynamics, cleanliness, and paying rent.
Yeah, no, it's you
to balance.
Because your ultimate goal is a happy household, right? It could make you lose earlier.
Mm.
It could just make, like, if you're never able to pay rent, you just straight up lose. But it's not the thing that's going to make you win.
I like that.
Yeah,
and so
right.
Maybe some characters get a bonus to happiness and stuff if they're paired, or a negative if they're paired. And
stuff like that.
So you peasants hate being with dragons.
Yeah. But if you get a household...
But arsonists love them.
If you get a household of four peasants, you're like, they all get a huge bonus. You're like, this is amazing.
Yeah, but
they're
dirty.
And then
they
someone
can't
does,
pay rent,
someone
but
does,
their happiness is through the roof.
That's right.
Cleanliness.
Someone does the plague card. All peasants wiped out.
What about, that could be the mechanic of a housemate that likes problematic things? So, like, if it's an unclean household, they actually do better.
Yeah.
Or something like that, just to
have
that, you know, that gloom sort of mechanic.
Yeah. What about this idea of, like, everyone draws a random character at the start, and that's you. And you might have a little goal or something.
Yeah,
that's your own thing.
I mean,
if you achieve that goal, you get a boost to happiness, but it might not be a good goal. So,
I agree.
Yeah,
that's
the
great.
Dragon's like, I just want to have as much rent, the most rent-paying capacity as possible. And so you get, like, the Baron or something who's just disgusting, but really rich.
Yeah.
Like,
for every...
I think that's great. Everyone has their own individual goals.
Yeah.
For every 10 currency you have at the end of the game, score a bonus 4 victory points because you're the dragon. That sort of thing is a mechanic you could have at the end.
I
think that's a great mechanic, but I do like it if all of the player characters are normal people and they're just like, gotta find some housemates, and they go on Airbnb and they find dragons.
That could be your player cards that are quite normal, but we could, like, a bit quirky.
Yeah.
But the regular people, and then mixed with... I mean, you wouldn't even need event cards if you have modifiers with other people so that when certain characters come into play... and then, like, each... You could attach an event or a thing to each player.
Oh, right.
So you have a goal... So, like, you have the goal, and then you have their amplifier or their interaction, and then the last bit is an event. So if it's a peasant, it's like, oh, it has to go toil in the fields... and leaves.
Interesting. Each card has all the things we're talking about on it. Yeah.
Mm. And that way you're not...
And then it might be just be one deck of all these characters,
yeah.
but you create these... Through just dispersing them in a few rules, you create these different
houses
and events. And
yeah, I like that. I'm also going to add structural integrity. So if you've got, like, an ogre, that's, like, maybe, like, five... If you got, like, I don't know, like a gnome or something, or like the
what about
like the shoes?
What about illegal activity? Like if your housemates are smuggling pixies or
murderers,
or they're murderers, or they just smoke weed a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
Or they smoke weed. Oh, definitely worse than smuggling pixies.
I mean, you could have a mechanic where some housemates are really good, but they add a bit of illegality. Whichever player has the most criminality is raided by the police.
at the start of each round, like 1, 2, or 3, you flip a card that's like, this is now illegal, or there are cops raiding, or
you get maybe, yeah.
That's why you've got two options, right? You've got an event card for each round, which interacts with everyone,
mm-hmm.
or you have your room that's being rented out has this character. So each round you have a character arrive.
Yeah.
And that, so you have
so
your
that
house.
So that character is the policeman.
Yeah. If
and he can either be a renter or an event.
Yeah. Well, so I'm just saying, like, you've got two options for the mechanic there. You've either got a global kind of, this happens this round, or you have a coming to stay at everyone's houses this round is this one for you, this one for you, this one for you.
Oh,
so,
I see.
I think having it part of the draft is better. I think it's better if you're like, you look at the cards in your hand, you're like, okay, I've got these, or I've got this Narc card. And if I choose to do this Narc card, then anyone who's being illegal will get potentially punished. You know what I mean? Like,
I think we should do that.
Could it be the suggestion of, you've got cards that you can play that are either, you know, it's an event card that you can choose to play that round that affects everyone, or an event card that affects a particular person. So, like, everyone's affected by the police are cracking down on party drugs. Imagine that. Or, you know, James's house has termites, so ogres can't live there anymore.
I think
it would
be
shit.
Fun to have them as things that you keep as a player.
Yeah.
Like, you choose to keep them instead of a housemate, and then you can deploy at someone later, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I think...
Or maybe global effects.
No.
Even...
I think it would be best if you get to choose if some cards or a lot of cards have one thing if they're your housemate, or one thing if you decide to use them as an event and they affect the rest of the table. So you're like, okay, this police officer could be a good housemate, or I could discard that, I could take them but use them on the middle of the table, and they'll report on anyone who, like, they'll raid the most illegal person, you know. So I think, because that adds an extra element of choice. It's instead of just like, which of these five cards am I going to choose? It's, I'm going to choose one of these, and then I need to, they're a housemate, or use them in this way, which is interesting.
So that implies that, so would each house you have a particular number of housemates that you can have in it?
I'm thinking 4.
Yeah, I was thinking
4
too.
And we could do the different houses sort of have different numbers, but I think that might make it a bit hard in terms of drafting.
Yeah,
because
that can be the
expansion. So if it's just 4 each, then you sort of, in per round, you just keep going until you've got one in every house.
You could have a event card that happens for you only, where you get an extension built onto the house because the landlord's
cool. And I think some of the events should be good things and bad things.
Yes.
And some of them should affect individuals, and some of them affects everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can now have 5 housemates, but your rent goes up $50. Good luck. You know, you could screw yourself over in round 3. Who knows?
Wow. Yeah, I like that. So let's throw out some crazy events there.
Mm-hmm.
So, fire.
House gets sold.
Ooh.
Rent increase.
Some
surprise renovations.
Everything I want to say is full of salt, and I don't think I want to record that.
Do it. Give us the salt.
We got to draw from our own lives
Give
so that we can make a relatable
begins.
Game.
Landlord disapproves of actions that were previously approved of.
Flip-floppy landlord. Make him a fish.
Oh my god.
Landlord is a fish.
Landlord turns into a fish, flip-flops on all issues. Invert the everything about your household.
You get paid to live here, buddy.
And it's gotta be dirty.
There are now negative 4 rooms. Good luck.
Figuring
out what that means.
Like a cop, but if you have enough, like, if you have a cop, but you have enough people in there who are, like, you know, able to bribe the cop, then the cop gets on your side.
Yeah, we can have a character that can bribe.
The cop's price is this much, and if you can pay that much over rent, then you're fine.
The dragon, can you afford it?
Yeah.
You've got a housemate who's very unclean, and so you get, like cockroaches or vermin or something, but then you get the housemate that's a cryptid that loves eating cockroaches and vermin.
You
so
get the rat
comedy.
King housemate. It's just a rat king. It's just 5 rats tied together. Who just loves, who's just like, if your house has a certain level of uncleanliness, score a bunch of points.
Yeah.
That'd be
cool.
Fun.
The rat king.
All right. Well, guys, I think we've got a cool game here. We'll work on the name.
We'll put that out there in a poll.
Yeah, if you have better ideas for names, please let us know.
What are your thoughts, positive and negatives? What are your concerns, and what are you excited about for this game?
Yeah, right. So, something that I love about it is that it's batshit crazy, but it's in something that's super relatable. So I really like that it's trying to find a housemate, which is something a lot of us have had to do and try to do. But it's trying to find housemates that are that are crazy and fantastical, and I think that's really fun. I would like to play that. Things to, like, concerns maybe are just, like, making a simple mechanic. As we've been talking, we've been adding layers of complexity, so I'll be interested to see a simplified version of it. I'd like to play something that you could learn in 1 minute and start playing, you know? Something really easy and simple. So.
Sure.
Okay.
I agree with James. I think it's a great idea. I'd really like to see it. I think it needs to be 3 rounds of drafting, probably, where you get a single face-down persona at the start, which gives you preference for certain things. And the cards that you draft can either be used as a housemate or as an event.
Great.
I think the mechanics are the big thing, but I like the theme a lot.
Yeah.
Go on.
I think we're all pretty keen on this theme. It's like an absurd housemate fantasy thing. I think my concern and also my hope is that it's almost like a reskin of Dominion plus Munchkin plus
I was getting Munchkin
something
vibes.
Else like a Munchkin Dominion almost about housemates. Get that, Jack? Munchkin Dominion about housemates.
Yeah, right.
That's what I want to see, but I'm also concerned that it'll just be a reskin of something like that. So, yeah.
I'll whip up something good, don't worry, guys.
Excellent.
You really, you want it to be Munchkin Dominion about housemates, but you don't want to be a reskin of Munchkin Dominion.
About housemates.
It's
exactly.
A final.
That's my, yeah.
Alright, can do.
All
right,
everybody can.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like something that I would pay money for on Indiegogo. Like if someone was like, oh, it's a housemates game, but your housemates are absurd fantasy characters. That's like, that really excites me. And but being able to revel in that absurdity in a really mundane setting is I think the bit that I really want to see, and I don't know how you do it yet.
Getting the bond back, seeing your
miss
out, having these goals, these mundane goals.
Yeah, it's like the most successful VR game is one where you play in an office and you just try and do a normal office day. It just happens to be set in the year, like, 3000 with AI robots that don't understand what office work was for.
Oh, really?
So you're, like, throwing staples at robots and things while trying to get, like, the filing and faxes done. So it's kind of, like, that sort of...
I love that.
...thing where it's the absurd meets mundane is difficult but very exciting. And... We've talked about some mechanics, but it's hard to nail down what that is.
Definitely. Well, I personally, I feel like this is going to be a big challenge to do in 3 weeks. But, we'll just see how it goes. And I think everyone listening, if you could tell us in, like, a comment or something, what your craziest or favorite or, like, most rage-inducing housemate experience is, that would be great, and we can integrate them into the game. Also ideas for the fantasy creatures. We've got like rat kings and cryptids and demons and yetis and stuff. But yeah, please give us your ideas. I think that'll be great.
Yeah, at the least this game has potential for expansion packs. Something I quite like.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So just any ideas, please hit us with them. That'll be fantastic.
I really just want like Paul the accountant to be one housemate.
Standard old, boring old Paul.
Yeah, I'm also, absolutely. For the art style, I think I'm going to try and get a few pictures of real people and then like put them through one of those programs that makes it into a cartoon or something. So
that'd
be
fun. I know an artist who'd be great for this, Matthew Adams. He's great.
Does he work for free?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Well, no, he does.
He does, but
he shouldn't. He does work for free, but he shouldn't.
It'll be paying.
Yeah, see, he can't pay the rent, so he's going to become a character as well.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. If you can't do free shit for us, you're going in the game.
All right, you hear that? No. Thank you all for coming. An extra special thanks to our special guest, Dina Hori. Thank you.
Going.
It was wonderful. You've been listening to Drunk Game Design, and we'll catch you next month.
Drunk Game Design was brought to you by Half Monster Games and That's Not Canon Productions. This week's episode was edited by me, Nicholas Wiggins. On today's episode, you heard the voices of Jack Ford Morgan, James Elliott, Cameron Cliff, Jack McNamee, Nina Hori, and myself. If you'd like to contribute, star as a guest on our show, or just want more information, you can find us under Drunk Game Design on Facebook. Thanks for listening. Have fun with our game, drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.